you want to take your Bibles and open up to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we'll dig into 1 Corinthians and then a few other places. We'll start there. But tonight we're probably wrapping up our study in the series of Empowered, the Doctrine of the Holy Spirit, Pneumatology. And we've looked and seen how the Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity, not just a spiritual force. But he is a person possessing intellect, emotion, and will. And as being, not only is he a person, but he is deity. He is God, possessing all the characteristics of deity, some of those being holiness, eternality, omnipotence. We also saw the Holy Spirit's work in the Scriptures, in creating the Scriptures as he revealed to men what he wanted them to say. He carried them along. As 2 Peter 1 verse 21 tells us, and those men produced the inspired, God-breathed words of Scripture, which are used for us to be taught, reproved, corrected, and trained so that you and I can live righteous lives before God. We also saw how the Holy Spirit illuminates the Scriptures, helping us to understand the truth of God's Word and to then apply it to our lives. We also study the Holy Spirit's work in salvation, how He convicts us of our sin and helps us to realize we need Jesus as our Savior. We looked at His regenerating work and imparting new life to those who place their faith in Him. We also saw how the Holy Spirit indwells believers, bringing comfort and assurance, security. We also saw how He seals the believer, providing further comfort and assurance. We also learned about the Holy Spirit's work of baptizing. We are baptized into the body of Jesus Christ. We become members of the body of Christ, and we are given spiritual gifts so that we are equipped to serve the body of Christ and to serve the community around us by sharing the gospel with them. Last week, we looked at the filling of the Holy Spirit, and we define this as a continual yielding of control of oneself to the Holy Spirit. We're not to be foolish and to waste our lives living in drunkenness and wastefulness, debauchery type living. Instead, we are to obey the command to be filled with the Spirit continually in a moment by moment relationship with Him. As we do this, we live by faith, trusting the Holy Spirit will fill us because we cannot do anything to do this in and of ourselves. We need to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. And tonight, we're going to look at the Holy Spirit's work in sanctification. And thinking about last week with the filling of the Holy Spirit and this week with sanctification of the Holy Spirit, all these different aspects that we've studied kind of tie into both of these truths. As we think about the work of sanctification, this is the process of you and I becoming holy. That's what sanctification is. It's the process of you and I being set apart from sin and set apart to God to live our lives for Him. And it truly is a process. Last night, I had the opportunity to take all four of our boys were there up to the little camp that the Princeton Senior High School football team had for little guys all the way up through the seventh graders. And so it was really cool to watch for a little while and see the little guys, you know, running and tackling. They let them practice kicking the ball and throwing the ball and making tackles on the pads. And they had a big time and a little blast. And you had the youngest ones, and then you saw the middle-aged ones, and they were a little faster, a little stronger. Their throwing and their kicking and their tackling looked a little better than the kids younger than them. And then you went up to the sixth and seventh graders that are practicing with the middle school team, and they were even better. They were faster, stronger, could throw the ball well, could run routes and understand some of the concepts of the game of football. And all levels were important. It's important for the little guys to start learning and have fun and enjoy the game. And it's important to see the middle schoolers, and then the high schoolers were there teaching them and helping coach them. And at the end of the night, they played a little 7-on-7, and it was a fun time. But it was neat to see the different levels of the kids as they were maturing and they were growing. They're getting to that process of becoming a high school football player. And we know beyond that, there's college and the pros. But you don't get there just in one snap of the finger. You don't go to one football practice and become professional level football player. That's not how it works. There's a process. And a much more important way, in a very similar way though, sanctification is that process of you and I not becoming great athletes or football players, but the process of becoming like Jesus Christ. From the moment we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we begin a process where the Holy Spirit, really the Trinity, God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, are working together in our hearts to make us into the image of Christ. Until one day when we get to heaven and we see Christ face to face and we are made perfect and complete. And so tonight we're going to look into that process of sanctification and see what it means and how it works out in our lives. The word sanctification comes from the word saints or holy ones, and it's used in the epistles and Revelation. We see this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, "To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours." And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, it says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." And then 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. "But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." Each time the word sanctification or saints is used in these verses, and many, maybe not all, but most of the instances in the epistles and the book of Revelation, this is speaking of Christians. And it literally means to be set apart. The root word for sanctification comes from the Greek word hagios, which means to be pure, to be holy, to be set apart. And we see this command beginning back in the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 2. When God tells the Israelites, "You shall be holy, to be set apart, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." Then in the New Testament, this command is repeated in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. "You shall be holy, for I am holy." So to be a sanctified person means to be a holy person, a person who is pure, without sin, and holy, completely devoted to God. As we hear that definition, we understand what sanctification means and what holiness means. We quickly look at our lives, and if we're honest with ourselves, we realize we are far from holy. Our thoughts, our words, our actions, the battle we have with sin in our lives from day to day, we realize that we're not actually holy. This is a struggle within us. But even so, the New Testament says that you and I are sanctified. We are saints. We are holy ones. We are declared holy by Jesus Christ. So then, what does sanctification mean? Well, all three persons, as I said earlier, are involved in this process of sanctification. It's not something that the Holy Spirit does alone. He does this in conjunction with God the Father and God the Son. But there are several instances, as we'll see tonight, where this work is attributed specifically to the Holy Spirit. And as we think about this and this process of becoming holy, we realize we're declared holy. But as we look at our lives, we see that's not actually true. We're going to look at three different aspects of sanctification. We're going to look at positional sanctification, progressive sanctification, and then ultimate sanctification or glorification. We're going to see this process of being declared holy by God, and then the process of Him making us holy, of people that are pure and holy, set apart for God and for His use. So the first thing we're going to look at here tonight is positional sanctification. Positional sanctification, can be defined as the work of God in the life of a believer by which He sets the believer apart for God, and the believer is perfect as Christ is perfect. And we saw this earlier here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. "To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours." The verb for sanctified here is in the perfect tense, which means this is an action that was completed in the past, but now continues on into the present. This is a fact. This is a statement of fact. And then let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. where Paul again refers to us as Christians as those who are sanctified. He says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." So here he's saying, it's a true proven fact. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection, you have been sanctified, set apart as holy for God. Positional sanctification is very closely tied to justification. What is justification? It is the judicial act of God whereby He declares someone to be righteous. Someone who has placed their faith in Jesus Christ is declared righteous. Instead of being declared righteous, though, in the aspect of looking at it from sanctification, this is a person who is set apart, who is holy. This is something that is true of you and I tonight. As we stop and we think about this, what a wonderful truth. As I said, if you and I look at our lives and our hearts, our words, our actions, our responses, the desires, intents of our hearts, we know that we are far from holy, perfect people. But God has declared us holy. He has made us holy by us simply placing our faith in Him and allowing the Holy Spirit to do this work in us. Paul was writing here to the church in Corinth, and he addressed some pretty bad sins in the church of Corinth. Very public and open things. There were divisions, sexual immorality, selfishness, idolatry. And they were not using their spiritual gifts in a loving manner. Paul knew all this about the church in Corinth. Yeah, at the very beginning of the book of 1 Corinthians, he calls them those who are sanctified. These saints, these holy ones. Because this is what's true of them regardless of how they live. As I was thinking about this, I thought about there was one of the commentators, Charles Ryrie, compared sanctification to being part of God's family. When you and I are saved, we become a part of the family of God. And we think about being a parent and having a child. At the moment when our children are born into our family, they're born into our family and they are forever our child. We look at that little baby and we love them and we cherish them. And to us, they're just the perfect little child, that son or that daughter. There's nothing like that moment where you become a parent and your love for that child, your desire to see them to grow into a mature young man or young woman who hopefully knows and loves the Lord. But we are positionally God's children. Even though you and I struggle with sin, we are positionally declared God's children. We are set apart as holy. But again, we struggle with this process of becoming holy. So that brings us to the second aspect of sanctification, which is progressive sanctification. And progressive sanctification can be defined as the work of God in the believer through the Holy Spirit's ministry and the Word of God, which progressively brings the believer into greater conformity to the perfect position in Christ. If you all will turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 6. The book of Romans, chapter 6, and verse 19. Romans, chapter 6, and verse 19. Here, Paul says, "I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification." Here Paul is telling them that they are to present themselves as slaves to God so that they can lead to sanctification. Slaves to righteousness so that can lead to sanctification in their lives. So we see here this is a process of becoming like Jesus Christ. I remember when I was young in my faith, I remember learning about sanctification probably for the first time, maybe as a junior or senior in high school and learning more about it when I was in Bible college. And I pictured in my mind a graph where you have the line that starts down here and kind of grows like a wedge and gets greater and greater. And I thought, that's what sanctification is going to look like in my life. I don't know about you all, but it's kind of like it goes up and down and looks more like a heart monitor with all the peaks and the lows. And the process of becoming sanctified is a tough process. We experience all kinds of different things in our lives. And we go through different seasons of our lives. And many of you here tonight could probably explain and teach and give illustrations better than I could of the ups and downs of the Christian life and what it's like through the different stages and parts of your life as you seek to follow Christ and to live for Him and to become conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It's not a straight line. There's many ups and downs, all kinds of different times in our life. But when we think about this process of becoming sanctified, one of the things it does require is the building of disciplined habits. 1 Timothy 4:7, Paul speaking to Timothy here says, "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourselves for godliness." Here in this chapter, Paul is warning Timothy about false doctrine and even giving into teachings of demons where people forbid marriage and require abstinence from certain foods that God intended to be received with thanksgiving. He's warning him about this. And he says, instead, train yourself for godliness. Now, Timothy was supposed to be in the Word of God, studying it, praying, drawing close to Him so that he could become a mature person, become more like Jesus Christ. And again, this is nothing new or noteworthy. Very similar to thinking about what we talked about last week regarding the filling of the Holy Spirit. But it's important that we do things like setting aside a time and a place to regularly read God's Word, to pray, to build those disciplines and those habits into our lives. Disciplines and habits of sharing the gospel. Disciplines and habits of fasting. We went through many of those back at the beginning of the year as Pastor Dan preached through that sermon series. These different spiritual disciplines are an important part of our life. And I know in my own life there's been times I've been hesitant to talk about these spiritual disciplines or to be too adamant about them because I don't want to come across as legalistic. But I know as I examine my life, and I think what happens in the church sometimes is we point to legalism sometimes when the Holy Spirit is convicting our hearts about habits that we should be doing, things that we know we should be doing, but we're not prioritizing them. We're not building those disciplined habits in our lives. Now, going back again to thinking about becoming a football player, you can't become a football player without practicing running your routes or practicing blocking or eating healthy and learning the plays and lifting weights. Like, if you want to be a good football player, these things have to happen. If we want to become like Jesus Christ, we need to fast. We need to pray. We need to share the gospel. We need to seek to grow in our walk and our relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we see down in Romans chapter 6 and verse 22, "But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life." As we seek to live for God, to live for Him, to live this sanctified life, it leads to a fruit. And what is that fruit? Well, we talked about that last week, right? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These things are what become evident, the fruit that is produced in our lives as we seek to be sanctified, to become like Jesus Christ. And as I was thinking about this and studying for this during the week, I was reminded that the fruit of the Spirit is given to us not just when things are hunky-dory, right? It's really easy for me to be patient with my children when they're not fighting with each other, or they're not whining, or they're not complaining, or they're not talking back. It's very easy for me to be patient, but when they're doing those things, it's a lot more difficult. It's easy for me to have joy or peace when there's no turmoil, no difficult circumstances in my life, but when we face hardship and trials and difficulties, becoming like Christ and looking to Him in the midst of those and seeing what He's teaching us, how He's helping us to grow in the midst of those circumstances is very important. Thinking about love. I don't know about you all, but there are certain people and situations and things that have happened in my life, and there's times I see certain people, I'm like, I don't really like them. And that's not becoming like Jesus Christ. That's not responding the way that God would have me. He tells me to even love my enemies. So it's very important in this process of sanctification that we're yielding control of the Holy Spirit and seeking to be filled with the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18 says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So here we see that we're being transformed into the same image. What is that image? The glory of the Lord there in the first part of that verse. So you and I are being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We are to look more and more like Him each and every day. As I think about this, think about the illustration of a family again. You know, you have that child, that baby, and they grow up and they quickly demonstrate that they have a sinful nature and they become toddlers and the terrible twos and the terrible threes and all those things, and you begin to correct them and to discipline them and to teach them. Yet the whole time, they're still your child. You still love them. They're still yours. And they move into becoming younger kids in the elementary ages, and they're learning to read and to write and to do different habits and different chores. And then they enter the preteen years and the teen years, and you're like, oh boy, here we go. We're there right now in our family, and nobody warned me enough. People warned me, but you didn't warn me enough. But it can be challenging sometimes. And so you're teaching them to have disciplines and habits and things in their life. Why? Because you want them to grow into mature young men and young women who represent you and your family well and demonstrate these things. And that's a good picture, I believe, of the process of sanctification. We go through those years where we're infants, we're babies, spiritually speaking. We grow into toddlers and children and teenagers. And hopefully we're growing into mature adulthood, mature believers that are seeking to become more and more like Jesus Christ. And then ultimately, that leads us to our third aspect of sanctification, which is ultimate sanctification. And thinking of the definition of ultimate sanctification is, this is, the believer can be defined as the work of God which perfects the believer in his experience, bringing him into complete conformity to the image, to the likeness of Christ at Christ's appearing. Let's turn very quickly, and we're running out of time, to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13 says, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." So God is working in us to establish our hearts as blameless, to make us holy before God the Father when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. At the second coming, all this is going to be completed. Now, those who have gone on to be with the Lord now, they are experiencing a degree of glorification. They no longer have to deal with a sinful body, but one day they're going to receive a glorified body where we will worship God and live with Him forever. And then let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Says, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it." What a wonderful, wonderful truth. No matter what we go through in life, no matter what we face, it's all part of God's process. He allows everything to happen in our lives for a reason, to make us more like Jesus Christ. There's a plan, there's a purpose behind everything that He allows into our lives. And Paul's makes a great promise in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. "And I'm sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." God's working in us. Again, thinking about the process of having a child, and that child becomes your child and you love them. They're your child. They're special to you. They're set apart to you as a parent, irregardless of what they do. But then there's a process of them maturing and becoming a young man or a young woman. The same thing is true for us in our relationship with Jesus Christ. So tonight, are our hearts settled on the truth, the fact of positional sanctification? Do we go back to this truth, and even in our bad moments, our bad times, when we go to the Lord and we realize sin in our lives, and hold on to the fact that we positionally are holy before God, even though we may not act on that. But that gives us motivation to then live out the process of becoming sanctified, the progression of sanctification. Are you and I seeking to grow in our relationship with Christ? Do we produce the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Are we training ourselves in godliness? Again, not setting up legalistic rules, but a football player can't get to the NFL if he doesn't lift weights and run and learn the routes. How can we expect to know and become like Jesus Christ if we don't read and pray and fast and share the gospel and seek to become the people that God desires for us to become? And then are we looking forward to that day when we will be with Him forever in heaven, stand before Him completely perfect? I look forward to that day when we'll be able to worship Him free from any effects of sin. No more crying, no more tears, no more pain, no wrong thoughts or motives or desires in our heart. We will worship Him perfectly. Ephesians 5:27 says, "So that He might present the church to Himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish." One day we will be presented there before God Himself, and we will be holy and without blemish, in perfect bodies, perfectly worshiping Him. So as we look at wrapping up this series on the Holy Spirit and being empowered, I pray that we will look at our lives and seek to be working in this process of being sanctified, of being set apart and holy, wholly devoted to the Lord Jesus Christ. So we close with our benediction for this series. Romans 15:13. "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." Father in heaven, we thank You for the process of sanctification in our lives. We thank You that You make the profound fact, and Lord, You settle as true, that we are positionally sanctified. We are holy in Your eyes because of the work of Your Son on the cross, for His death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, thank You that You are then working in us through the process of sanctification to become more like Jesus Christ, to look like Him in the way we live our lives. And Lord, we look forward to the day when we will enter that ultimate sanctification, that glorification where we will be with You forever and stand in Your presence in a perfect body. And Lord, we will no longer have to fight the battle of sin, and we can perfectly worship You and serve You and live in fellowship with You. We look forward to that day. In Jesus' name, amen.